The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the crowd came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Transfiguration of the Lord is one of the most well-attested historical events in the life of Jesus. We see it throughout the readings that we have to celebrate Mass today, where we see St. Peter in his letter writing about the Transfiguration, where we have it appear in each of the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in striking similarity for what we would imagine are three different witnesses or three different accounts from witnesses to the event. So it's hard then for me to transition quickly into turning this historical event into something of an allegory, but that's what I'm going to try to do. I think that here we have encapsulated for us perhaps the story of our spiritual lives. If we were to put on the minds of Peter, James, and John, if we were to put on the minds of those closest associates of Jesus. Okay, and we have it in three parts here. One, climbing the mountain. And we tend to gloss over that. Jesus took them up the mountain. It's not like Jesus carried them up the mountain. And it's not like this was not a very difficult mountain to climb. There are one of two hills in the Holy Land that this could have been. Both of them would have been quite steep and arduous journeys. So Jesus would bring these three men along with him up the mountain. They have to climb. They have to exert themselves. So too, I think, when we start off on our journey with Jesus, we also have to exert ourselves. We have to make time to commune with God in prayer. We have to make time to pray. We have to, and that's it. And even just that is quite difficult for us, and perhaps even becoming more difficult for us in a world of all, say, flashing images and sounds, because to make time to pray means that we follow Jesus into seclusion. When was the last time that we had a substantial period of silence? And when we tried to go to it, how difficult was it to embrace? So even today, right? And we hear in the language of the church, we talk about asceticism. the ascetic practices. These are practices certainly of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but it's spiritual training, and that's what the word means, training. Here we see that physical training of Peter, James, and John, but we could see our own spiritual training following Jesus up the mountain is the first phase. The second phase is the encounter that we have with the glorious Jesus, the Jesus who embodies the glory of God. Funnily enough, when the early church would talk about the transfiguration, they wouldn't point to this as, say, something that demonstrated the divinity of Jesus, but something rather that revealed the glorified humanity of Jesus. When they talked about the divinity of Jesus, they pointed to the cross, which really runs in parallel to the transfiguration. That's another homily. Okay, so the second part, the encounter. So once we've made the time, once we've focused our hearts and minds on Jesus, we are more open to receive what it is God wants to offer us in Jesus. He wants to pour his love into our hearts in that sacred encounter where we come to Jesus and, having ventured after him, entrust ourselves to him, recognize his glory, and even bask there in his presence. And so it's right, like with Peter, right? We say, Lord, it is good that we are here. And we ought to have that experience. And I think perhaps even it's an experience of the Mass, whether it's receiving communion or just having this time to pray. It's good for us to be here. And like Peter, perhaps, when we find Jesus in his glory, we want to stay with him. And yet, Jesus is on the move. So Jesus is leaving the mountaintop, and he's taking then the apostles with him. They've been strengthened by the vision, just as we are strengthened by our encounter with Christ, but we are strengthened for something, just like the apostles are strengthened in this time to endure the difficulties of the passion, the scandal of Jesus' crucifixion. So too, we are strengthened here in this place. We are strengthened by our encounter with Jesus whenever we turn to him in prayer, so that we can go out with him, we can go come down the mountain with him to bring his love to life in the world around us, right? A world that doesn't necessarily have to be opposed to us at every turn, but a world that doesn't readily receive us when we bring true love to it. Yeah, we can look to the cross for our inspiration. Just as the apostles had the cross to face, so too do we after our encounter with Jesus. The cross is simply love in a fallen world. It requires suffering. But it's not the point. Suffering is not the point. The point is love. The point is what we come to know and experience in Christ Jesus that we so desperately want everyone around us to receive. Just as Jesus is transfigured, so too we can be transfigured, transformed by Jesus in prayer, so that we might represent him and God's glory to the people around us.